Hello, I'm Emily, I'm an alcoholic.
So look, I look like,
hello Levi.
I feel like, and I called my sponsor earlier and I said, I feel like I'm going to meet my dealer today. My belly's going, my heart's pounding, my ass is going. I'm like, oh my gosh. And yeah, standing up here, it's like I've heard a few people when they come in the meetings and they say, and I was standing in the dock in front of the judge and they let me out and I went and used. I got off of it and I went and used. I'm not fucking surprised. Like, if I weren't in recovery, I'd need a drink to come and do this. You know, I want to start off by reading a bit out of the big book. I'm shaking that. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. So there's a bit, and it says, at a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. The tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it has been suspected. Now, from me and my experience, I'd lost the power of choice years before I even realised. It must have been a good 10 years before I realised that I couldn't stop drinking. I came into these rooms on the back end of a treatment centre. And, you know, even coming into these rooms, I was in for just over a year and I'd get 30 days sober and I'd go and drink. And I used to come in and I was so deluded to the fact that I had a problem that I'd hear everybody saying, my name's so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. My name's so-and-so, I'm an addict. And I thought, I know how this works. They keep telling themselves that shit and they believe it. I'm not going to do that. My name's Emily and I just drink a little bit too much. That's what I said. And I honestly believed it. And it took just over a year of being in these rooms to finally realise that I'd lost the power of choice. So for me and my drinking, it was, you know, I thought I had a choice. I thought I was just making the wrong choice. I couldn't understand why I kept making the choice of have one drink, we'd just have one bottle, and that would be it. And then blackout would come, the kids would be gone, the house would be in carnage, chaos, I would be suicidal. Why do I keep believing that choice? Like, it was just, I was deluded, you know, that was my truth. It was the wrong choice I kept making. I couldn't understand, why do I keep making this choice over and over again? So my drinking and using, I was a daily cocaine user in my early 20s for about 5 or 6 years. And I had the mental obsession, I had the physical allergy. And, you know, I obviously it was my husband's fault, so I left him and I got a divorce. And, you know, that was it. I never, ever picked up cocaine again. But what happened was, I did pick up cocaine now and again, but like cocaine I put down way before I picked up the booze. But what had happened is my drug or thing of no choice, it was that, like what the alcohol reading says, we substitute one drug for another. So my mental obsession and my physical allergy just moved on to the booze. I started using that. So I was in a meeting last night and we were talking about, are we an addict from a baby, like from when we're born, or does it develop? For me, my understanding, my experience is when I put one in me, I cannot stop. I have no choice over the matter. I can't say I'm just going to have one bottle and I can stop. It's until the booze has run out or I've blacked out. That's usually where my stopping runs. And even if I did run out of booze, I'd find a way of getting it. You know, and I share it all the time. Money wouldn't stop me. You know, it's a good job Tesco's didn't take kids on tick because my kids would still be in Tesco's and I'd be cracking on. You know, and it was, my mind was just, it was so diseased. I'd always suffered with that wrong thinking from a kid. I was always the nutcase. You know, I'd always be the one in detention that would paint her teeth with Tippex and smile at the teacher and just get in even more trouble. And it was just to make everyone laugh. You know, my best thinking got me into a lot of trouble and I had that spiritual malady. But obviously, being a kid, I never put a substance in me. So I didn't suffer with a physical allergy then. But what happened is, over the years of beliefs and, you know, things happening to me, events happening to me, my belief systems, my thinking, it got more and more twisted and twisted, and that spiritual malady got bigger and bigger. That's what I understand today. You know, and then when I hit 15, it was my first time that I used a substance. And I remember it. I went to school in Hampstead Heath. So we had a bandstand, and I remember there was this boy, he was a bigger boy, and I felt really uncomfortable, but I really wanted him to like me. And we were all up at the bandstand, and he had this bike, and I wanted to ride his bike. It was a muddy fox, you know, a bright yellow muddy fox with the black panel, you know, where the wheel, there's no spokes on the back wheel, and I thought, I want to ride it. I want to be flash. I want everyone to like me. And I drank this can of Stella, because that's what he was doing, because it would make him let me ride his bike. And I drank the can of Stella, and I was like, right, that's it. I'm riding this bike. I chatted him up, let me on the bike. Well, he didn't talk to me for very long, because I was pissed. One can of Stella, I was gone. And I rode his bike down the hill in Hampstead Heath, straight into the railings, and mangled it. And that was it. He just never would talk to me again. And that was my first experience with alcohol, you know. For me and my experience, it coming into recovery, it was really hard for me to understand what I suffered with, because my family are alcoholics. My mum and dad are alcoholics. On my dad's side, all of his brothers and sisters are alcoholics. There's alcoholics on my mum's side, two of her sisters. So I really only have that to compare myself to. And as far as my drinking was concerned, my drinking was worse than my parents, because I was blacking out. I was unable to take care of my kids. But I had a job. I had a job, and they didn't. See, my understanding is that an alcoholic can't function in life. An alcoholic is in the park bench, and my uncle was a park bench alcoholic. So that kept me sick for a long time. I just couldn't understand it. So what happened was, I justified my drinking. Well, I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as bad as you. I got a job, you know? And it went on and on. And the more my life became unmanageable, the more alcohol that I needed to put into me. Towards the end of my drinking, it was just the fact that I would open my eyes and that was enough just to put a drink in me. I just didn't want to be here. Suicide attempts. And still, I remember falling over, smashing my head, and I bled out. And I just wanted to drink. And it was only my friend found me and took me to the hospital, and they said, you would have died. And they stitched me up, and they put fluids in me, and I got out in the morning, and I went and got a bottle of wine. And I still thought I had the power of choice. It was my thinking was telling me to have that one bottle. And then, obviously, I know now I had physical allergy, and on and on and on. So when I go into a treatment centre, and I turn up at the treatment centre, I still don't think there's anything wrong with me. I turn up in my running gear, because I'm fucking all right. They're not fucked. Do you know what I mean? I'm just here for a break off my kids. And I didn't learn too much in the treatment centre, but I did get introduced to the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous. And another fellowship, and a guy came in to do a chair, and he was powerful, and he had his stuff together, and he had a peace, and he had a calm, and I thought, I want that. Like, why is my life so shit? And he said, go to Cocaine Anonymous. Get to a Cocaine Anonymous meeting as soon as you get out of treatment. And I was in there for 2 weeks, and I left, and I did, and I come into the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous. And I had two sponsors. And first one, I didn't want what I had, and I didn't want what she had, but it was a lot better than mine. So I asked her, and she ran around like a lunatic. She had, like, God knows how many sponsees, and I just thought, geez, is that what I've got to do? I can't, like, and still my head is separating me from it. And, you know, people were smiling, they were happy, and I thought, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And they'd say, yeah, and they talk about the problem. I'm powerless over alcohol, my emotions, all the stuff that they talk about. And I thought, what do you mean you're powerless? I don't get it. I still thought I had power. And you know, these two sponsors took me through the steps, bless them, and they did the best with what they had, and I just weren't in a place to receive a message. You know, and I met this woman. Finally, I didn't want to, I used to avoid her in meetings. I thought, I'm not asking you, look like a fucking crackhead, and you look like a crazy cat. So I used to stay away from her, and I tell you what, that woman gave me the tools to save my life. You know, and I love her and her family, like, I'm just so grateful that I met her. You know, and she took the time to explain to me what I suffered with. You know, and I still didn't listen. I was working with her, it was 30 days. And I had this job that made me well, you know, that was the for the outside world to see that I do this job. I run a dental practice up in Harley Street, and it ooh, but it's not, it kills me. I'm still there doing it now. And this job was just chaos. Chaos, constant 24/7. I'm a single mum, I've got two little kids. And I just couldn't cope with the pressures of it. So then I'd act out in all other ways. Now, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then I drink because I can't cope with life, but I don't know that. So this, I worked with her for 30 days and I'm on the edge of my sofa and I've got all this stuff going on and I'm stressed out and I want to cry and I want to hurt myself and I can't stand my kids. They can go and care. I really don't care if I lose them. And I drank and I didn't tell her. And I drank, and what my son done is, my son, every time I used to drink and black out, he called Nanny. Nanny, Mummy's done it again, when you come and get her? She's been out for 2 days, you know. He's been having to look after my baby, his little sister. And he didn't. This time he called my sponsor, and he said, you said you'd help her, and she's done it again. Can you come round and get us? And thank God he did. And she came round, she picked up my, she came round and sat with me while I drank. And then I came to in the morning and my kids were gone. I came to about 4 in the morning. I remember ringing her. And I was like, and this is how selfish I was. It's 4 in the morning. I don't give a shit that she's got a family. Where's my kids? Have you taken them? What have you done with them? All I wanted to know was that I didn't get in trouble with my mum. It was that shame and that guilt of what my mum would do. All them feelings I would use on them. I don't know what's going on. And that, when she came back the next day, I understood what I'd lost the power of choice. She came round to my house and I sat there and she had a go at me. And I had the curtains, there was about that much gap, just so I could see over the balcony people walking past to see what time of day it was. And I'm shaking and I can't get off the sofa and I've got a baseball cap on in my house. I'm pacing up and down and I just don't know what to do with myself. All this stuff's going on and I just want to die. I really do want to die. And I just said to her, tell me what I have to do. I said, I just need this to stop. I don't want to feel like this. And she said, right, get yourself to a meeting. And the head, that loss of choice, the head went, what now? Like, I've got hangover. I ain't going outside. I'm not going to a fucking meeting, sitting there shaking, stinking a booze, sitting in the middle of a meeting, letting everyone smell me. No way, especially with the baby. And my head went, let's start tomorrow. We'll have a bottle of wine tonight, just the last one you're ever going to have, and we'll go again tomorrow. And for me, that was my realisation. I thought, this is never going to end. This is loss of choice. I'm always going to drink. I can't deal with this stuff. I put a drink in me. I'm happy. I put a drink in me. You know, for me today, stuff happens in my recovery. I'm 4 years in now, and you know, the loss of choice still happens to me today, because we get well and we do stuff and then we're all right. That obsession leaves us. The physical allergy isn't a problem anymore, and we just have to deal with the spiritual malady. And for me and my experience, 2 months ago, I'm laying in my bed, I can't take my daughter to school and I'm feeling suicidal and I want to kill myself, but I'm working a program. But what I'm not doing is I'm not being honest. This job, the unmanageability of it, but not only this job, I've now got another job because I'm really fucking well when I need money to pay for all the stuff that this magical life has given me, it's deluded. And I'm running mad and I've got 2 jobs and I've got 2 kids and the carnage, you know, that clean house, trust God and help others, right, and keeping it in a day. It's just that light bulb was gone off for me 4 years in. And I'm dying, and I call my mate, and I say to him, I can't fucking do this. I said, I want to top myself. I don't know what's going on for me. So for me, the loss of choice is still today apparent in my thinking and my behaviour, because what happens is when I'm not being honest, and I'm not cleaning house, and I'm not looking at myself, my behaviours and my thinking starts coming back. That madness. Then I start acting out on that thinking, and then I'm powerless over my thinking and my behaviours. So what happens is I get a boyfriend, don't I? Like, I've got time for that. But I get a boyfriend, chuck him in the mix, and I go and see him once a week, and he's my little escape. He's now my drug of choice, because he gives me a little bit of escapism for them feelings, because I'm not looking at myself now. And my head's getting worse. My sickness is coming in. And I did that for a couple of months, and I got in such another a place of pain to that point where I was talking about, like, I'm sitting wanting to kill myself, and I had to let it go. I had to let it go, ask this person, please help me. And he went, but I don't live near you. I said, I do not give a shit if you lived in Scotland. I will drive. I want what you've got. I need it. I'm dying. I'm dying, and I haven't even put a substance in me. And he says, all right. So we start looking at my stuff. We start putting disciplines in. That mad thinking starts quietening down. So I hear it in the room. Someone got a washing machine head. Mine's like a Gatling gun. Eh! Like, it's just on me all the time from the minute even when I'm asleep. It's just there. Like, I woke up today, I was still half asleep today, and my head's going, you can't go and talk at the uni day. And then it starts, and I'm like, and then I wake up, and I'm like, geez, it's attacking me even while I'm asleep. So by putting them disciplines in, I start reining back that spiritual malady. We straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally and physically. You know, and for me, just getting that peace of mind back. Then what happens is, I then have control over my behaviours again. I can process them differently. I can see the right ways. You know, so I start not engaging in that stuff. My head starts quieting down. I get that peace again. And for me today, the powerlessness, if you think you've got power or a choice over your drink, just stop doing your suggestions. Stop engaging in your program. Let that spiritual malady come back and that thinking come back. And then you'll soon see whether you've got power or not. So for me, I'm so grateful that it happens, because you know what? Out of that pain, I've had another growth spurt. You know, I have learned so much about this program, myself, my God, and just how close I was to picking up that drink. So for me, my understanding of step one is not, you know, if I pick up a drink again, it's just a matter of when. You know, this is what the steps are there for me to do. My choice today, the choice that I do have, or some people say it's not a choice, I've got to do it, but for me it is a choice, I do have a choice over whether I do it or not, is to practice what I've been taught in this room, to stay close to God, to clean house, trust God, and help others. And if I do that, I'm all right today. You know, I'm not in fear of picking up a drink today. And I'll leave it there.